Thank you all so much. Good afternoon. I appreciate all of you being here at this very special place on this crisp fall afternoon. Or is it spring in Knoxville? This is the future site of the Urban Wilderness Gateway Park, and I'll tell you more about this very special place later in my remarks. Thank you, Vice Mayor Saunders, Councilwoman Welch, and our entire City Council. It is a pleasure to work with all of you, and Knoxville has truly benefited from your progressive leadership. I also want to thank Knox County Mayor Glenn Jacobs for being here. Mayor Jacobs, I've really enjoyed working with you and your team these past 8 months. It's great to have so much cooperation and coordination among our administration. So thank you. And again, happy birthday. It was also a pleasure to see that the former Knox County Mayor and now our Congressman Tim Burchett is here with us. Where are you? We're back there. Oh, we made you sit in the back? Oh, no, he's probably going to leave early. he'll get tired of these speeches and he'll move. Thank you. He's tweeting right now, I'm sure. Thank you for being here, Congressman. Many individuals have contributed to this very special day, and I am grateful to all of them. Reverend Harold Middlebrook, you honor us once again. The KPD Honor Guard, students from Dogwood Elementary, what a beautiful job you did with the pledge. The choir from the Italian Opera, weren't they fabulous, along with Brian Selesky? Thank you, thank you. I think it's called Cavalleria Rusticana. Did I get it right?
Got it right.
All right. So everyone go see that next weekend. Our city poet laureate, Marilyn Callett. I like your state of the city. Maybe I should just sit down. It was really good. Of course, the Knoxville Fire Department, who always brings the wonderful, massive United States flag to display. And to all those listed in your program book, please look at them in the program to see all the individuals who made this event possible. And particularly, I want to thank our Office of Special Events. They pull off literally hundreds of events, maybe thousands, I don't know, in the course of a year. And they do a tremendous job. I also want to recognize my family members who are here today. My husband, Gene, thank you, dear, for being here. Together, Gene and I have a blended family of 5 grown children and now 8 grandchildren. We've actually doubled during my term in office. We've doubled the number of grandchildren. So it's been a great term. 2 of our 5 children are here, Carmen and Joan. Appreciate you all being here. And 2 of our 8 grandchildren are here, Jada and Silas. Thank you for being here. Silas just took his last TCAP and headed away from school. He's heading on into eighth. I'm going to brag. I'm a grandma. He's graduating from 8th grade and will be a freshman at West High School. And Jada is getting her bachelor's in nursing from UT in about a week or two. 2 weeks. Yeah. And she's already employed at Children's Hospital. So even better. Start paying off those loans. We are especially excited that my mother, Anita Waugh, is here today. She will be 92 years old in 3 months. Mom? Mom has always been my biggest supporter, and I have to say, we just got back into town. We went to Florida for 3 days because her 96-year-old brother passed away a couple months ago, and we had a wonderful celebration of his life with about 30 of my first cousins. And so, Mom, thank you for being here. And to all my family, I want to thank you for your love and support. This is always a special day in the life of our city when we come together to reflect on where we've been, where we are, and where we want to go. It's also the day when I present my proposed budget for the next fiscal year. The budget is not just a financial document, it is actually a policy document and a strategic plan for achieving our goals. As it's been said already, this is my eighth and final budget to present to you. A new mayor and four new council members will take office on December 21st. I want to recognize the council members who will also be term limited with me in December. Vice Mayor Finbar Saunders, Marshall Stair, George Wallace, and Mark Campen. Thank you all for your service to our city. Though we still have a lot to accomplish before our terms are up, my staff and I are already gearing up for a smooth transition. We will hand the next mayor and council a city with forward momentum and strong financial health, with an excellent workforce and top-notch services in place. Now, the two most basic functions of any city are public safety and public services. This is reflected in the annual budget, with the police, fire, and public service departments having the largest operating budgets and the biggest workforce. The Knoxville Police Department underwent a leadership change last June when Chief Roush accepted a new job. I appointed Eve Thomas. Where's Chief Thomas? I appointed her as police chief, and she hit the ground running, implementing changes to improve service, recruitment, morale, and efficiency. But being a police officer today is tough, and it is a dangerous job. Many cities across the country are facing the same issue we are, which is as older officers retire or mid-career officers leave for other jobs in a strong economy, we are not getting enough qualified applicants to fill the vacancies. Despite our best efforts, we are still significantly below authorized strength. So to be more competitive in the job market, this budget addresses police compensation. And we've worked with the FOP leaders on this. We will increase the starting salary of the rank of police officer to $40,000, which is a 7.7% increase, and will make corresponding adjustments up the ranks in the class comp structure. This budget also provides funding for an aggressive marketing campaign that Chief Thomas has asked for to help KPD attract a diverse group of qualified applicants for our future police academies. We are also funding necessary equipment, tactical gear, software, and vehicles. The Knoxville Fire Department, with its recent academy graduation, is very close to authorized strength. We have a highly qualified and professional fire department led by Fire Chief Stan Sharp. This budget includes equipment, cameras, and extrication tools to help firefighters do their job better. And an unfortunate sign of the times, we have also budgeted for body armor vests to protect our firefighters. This budget also addresses salary compression inequities among our firefighters, and I want to thank Kevin Faddis and Local 65 for working with us on these issues. Now let's talk about the public safety complex. Last year at my State of the City, I announced that we would build a new public safety headquarters that would house the administrative offices of police and fire, as well as city court. The necessary funds were approved in that budget. Due to circumstances beyond our control, the original site for the new headquarters and a partnership with Knoxville College did not work out. We were then approached by Tenova, who had made the final decision to close their North Knoxville hospital. North Knoxville residents had major concerns on the potential negative impact of a vacant and blighted, making sure those things don't come flying at all of us, those wonderful flags. North Knoxville residents had major concerns on the potential negative impact a vacant and blighted campus would have on a community that has worked proactively for decades to revitalize mixed-use areas and rebuild great neighborhoods like Oakwood Lincoln Park, Edgewood, Old North, and Fourth and Gill. We shared those concerns. So after much due diligence and public discussion, we are now in the process of finalizing an agreement with Tenova to transfer ownership to the city of the former St. Mary's Hospital campus, which was closed last year. At the May 7th City Council meeting, I will present those plans and a package of documents that, with Council's approval, will make this transition a reality. This centrally located property, after renovation and some new construction on the southern half of the site, will provide modern, efficient, accessible space that meets current and future needs of our professional and accredited police and fire departments, city court, and the city pension office. The northern part of the campus will become a site for future redevelopment that benefits the community, adjoining neighborhoods, and businesses. I have proposed $6.5 million in this budget to secure the northern campus, protect the historic hospital building for future use, and demolish obsolete structures. We are currently exploring potential reuses of the property and remaining buildings with various interested parties. So after public safety, our next core function is providing reliable and efficient city services. City departments have reorganized and modernized. City workers are utilizing newer technology and better equipment to help them work more safely and efficiently. We are communicating to city residents more often and through various mediums and 311 to inform them of city services and answer their questions. We have broken down silos among departments and partner agencies in order to deliver services better and quicker to city residents. For example, this year we completed our reorganization and relocation of city development services to create a more efficient one-stop shop for property owners and developers. Engineering and building inspections are co-located on the fourth floor of the City County building, right next door to the Knoxville-Knox County Planning Commission. Another example, the Public Service Department is reorganizing their work zones and brush pickup schedule to more efficiently serve our residents. This proposed budget includes funding to help communicate those changes to the public, so you will hear more about that soon. A smart city invests in its infrastructure. Deferred maintenance leads to bigger problems down the road and inefficiencies in service. Every budget year, we invest across the city in infrastructure with improvements to intersections and roads, drainage, bridges, traffic signals, bridge maintenance, and ADA accessibility. We pave streets and fill potholes. We upgrade parks, tennis courts, ball fields, recreation centers, and fire stations. And I encourage you to go to our city website and click on any department and see the projects that they're currently working on. It is impressive. Recent budgets have funded renovations of the Tennessee Amphitheater, the World's Fair Park Performance Lawn, which is right now under construction, the Sun Sphere, the World's Fair Exhibition Hall, and the Civic Coliseum and Auditorium. We completed a major new city facility, the Public Works Building, and with Council's approval, we will begin on the long-awaited Public Safety Building. We previously invested $10 million in capital improvements to the zoo and $5 million in infrastructure at Lakeshore Park, both of which have leveraged millions of dollars in private donations for their respective capital improvements. This budget year, we will fund a major renovation of Fire Station Number 6 in Burlington and further upgrades to the Convention Center, Coliseum, and Chilhowie Park. We are currently developing a strategic... Thank you, Kim. We are currently developing a strategic plan for future uses and development of Chilhowie Park, with significant input for the from the public and park stakeholders. This plan will help inform and guide future capital investments and programming in this public facility. This budget continues to support our efforts to create multimodal options and complete streets that safely accommodate vehicles, pedestrians, bicycles, and transit. In 2015, we created the Bicycle Facilities Plan to identify priorities for infrastructure improvements to make Knoxville a safer place to bicycle for both recreation and transportation. This budget continues to advance that plan. In 2015, CAT, our public transit system, developed a five-year plan to improve service frequency, hours, and days on bus routes. Over the past 4 years, we have improved service on 19 routes. And for year five, we are budgeting to extend service on Route 42 between UT and Fort Sanders hospitals. And with the changes in healthcare, with Tenova closing, this is really important service. In 2016, we completed a Greenway Corridor Study to serve as a guide, guiding document for connecting Knoxville's greenways and parks. Current greenway projects include the Northwest Greenway Connector, First Creek Greenway Connector, and East Knox Greenway. This budget includes $1.2 million to continue those greenway connections. Our annual street paving program is again budgeted at $5.8 million, and an extra $200,000 is funded for traffic calming, something our neighborhoods ask for. We are currently working on a citywide sidewalk study to help prioritize sidewalk connections. In the meantime, engineering is working on 13, maybe more, I counted 13 sidewalk projects across the city, totaling more than $6 million, and this budget includes $1.25 million in additional sidewalk funding. Along with public safety and basic city services, a city must take care of its most vulnerable populations. A great city provides opportunities and support for all of its people. A great city is a compassionate city. Affordable housing, increasing the availability of affordable housing has been a priority of my administration. Now, the city does not own or operate housing units. Instead, our Community Development Department works with public and nonprofit partners and with private developers to encourage the construction and renovation of a variety of affordable and energy-efficient housing units. Since I took office in December of 2011, the city and our housing partners have together invested more than $230 million in the construction and rehabilitation of affordable housing. During this time, our city programs have invested $45 million and have leveraged an additional $186 million from other public and private sources. These investments have resulted in the creation or rehabilitation of close to 4,300 units of affordable housing, with some 3,500 completed and 800 additional units now in the pipeline. We and our partners are addressing the availability, accessibility, energy efficiency, and affordability of housing for low to moderate income households through a variety of programs and partnerships. One great example of this partnership is the current revitalization of KCDC's Walter P. Taylor Homes in Five Points. The city's investment of $13 million, where's KCDC? Ben Bentley and Brad from KCDC. The city's investment of $13 million begun under Mayor Haslam, and we continued and expanded in my administration. Our investment of $13 million over several years helped KCDC leverage another $62 million in funding for this transformational project that is almost complete. KCDC will next focus on a major revitalization of Austin Homes. I've already started their extensive public process about this. I am proposing in this budget an initial investment of $4.25 million, Ben is smiling, as local match to help KCDC leverage additional funding for this, again, a transformational housing development. 2 years ago, we created the Affordable Rental Development Fund to provide gap funding for affordable rental housing. To date, we have allocated $5.5 million from this fund, which so far has leveraged another $86 million from other sources, with about 517 units completed or in process. I am proposing another $2.5 million for this very successful fund for affordable rental housing. Capital grants will also go to the YWCA and the Community Coalition Against Human Trafficking for the creation and renovation of housing for their clients. In total, this budget, fiscal year 1920, includes more than $10 million that will be invested in affordable housing, which will leverage many millions more. It is important to note, however, to know that despite the great efforts in our community over recent years, the issue of affordable housing availability will not be solved quickly. It will take a continued and sustained effort by the city and its partners for years to come. Another challenge that takes continued and sustained effort is the issue of homelessness. Some three dozen service and government agencies and nonprofits meet regularly through the Knoxville Knox County Homeless Coalition and the Mayor's Roundtable on Homelessness to coordinate efforts, report successes and challenges, and to track our progress. This budget continues to support our efforts to provide case management, outreach workers, a safe day space, agency grants, and more to enable individuals who are homeless to connect with available services and to find permanent housing. The Behavioral Health Urgent Care Center had a successful first year. Funding is increased to support year two of the BHUC to divert those with mental health and or substance misuse issues from jail and into treatment. This is a partnership between Helen Ross McNabb Center, Knox County, and the city. Mayor Jacobs and I are also working together to address substance misuse and the opioid epidemic. We first listened to experts last fall at a forum that we sponsored, and we are now planning a community summit you'll be hearing about later this summer with the goal to produce a community strategic plan. The Metro Drug Coalition is a key partner in our efforts. This budget continues to fund the Save Our Sons initiative, which works to create opportunities and reduce violence-related deaths among boys and young men of color. The SOS Roundtable of Youth Serving Groups meets regularly to coordinate programs and activities. One priority for them is to collaborate on effective programs that help youth with adverse childhood experiences, or ACEs, trauma. We're increasing our investment in community schools, a program which serves as a hub to connect youth and their parents to community resources that improve their health, safety, and student academic success. This budget continues to fund the Second Chance Program in the Public Service Department that provides temporary employment, job skills, and referrals leading to permanent jobs for formerly incarcerated or formerly homeless individuals. There are so many needs in our city that government can't begin to address. That's why we depend on our nonprofit partners to deliver those necessary services. This budget grants $1.291 million to 42 community and social service agencies who provide these critical programs and services. To provide public safety and public services, to maintain public facilities, and to meet the needs of the most vulnerable among us, we have to have a strong tax base. We need a strong economy with successful businesses that provide good jobs with good pay and benefits. In this budget, I am recommending a continuation of funding for the Knoxville Chamber, the Knoxville Entrepreneur Center, the Mayor's Maker Council, Maker City, Innovation Valley, the Development Corporation, Visit Knoxville, and our City Office of Business Support. These partners work well together and with us to support existing businesses, recruit new ones, market our community, and help entrepreneurs and makers start new businesses. We have made major investments in downtown and in our older commercial corridors to bring back businesses that create jobs and offer services to adjoining neighborhoods. Our strategy has been to invest from the center out and to strategically invest public dollars to maximize private investment. This has been tremendously successful. Through the strategic use of TIFs and pilots, streetscape and public improvements, a commercial facade loan program, historic preservation grants, and support for a growing number of festivals and events, we have seen a major resurgence of downtown Knoxville and our older commercial corridors. Think of the old Farragut Hotel that reopened as a Hyatt Place, the Embassy Suites under construction now on Gay Street, and the former Green KUB building that is now the headquarters of the Tombras Group advertising firm. Surface lots are being grabbed up for new infill construction, like Marble Alley Lofts a few years ago, the newly opened Double Flag Marriott at the former Knoxville New Sentinel site, and Regus Square condos at the former Regus Restaurant parking lot. Because of these types of investments, the number of downtown residents has soared. Major streetscape projects like on Cumberland, Central, and Sevier are leveraging millions more in private investment. Phase 1 and 2 of Magnolia Avenue improvements are under construction, and this budget provides for the design of Phase 3. It also includes funds for streetscape improvements in Burlington, and this project has evolved from a model collaboration of the Community Design Center, the UTK College of Architecture, neighborhood residents, and the city. Our investments in the South Waterfront are catalyzing private development that is transforming Blount, Sevier, and Chapman Highways. This transformation is providing job opportunities as well as great amenities for those who live south of the river. This budget will fund a pilot project for trolley service that links downtown and the South Waterfront. Now, Sustainability is a key component of all that we do. With the completion of the LED streetlights retrofit this year, we will exceed the goal that was set over a decade ago under Mayor Haslam to reduce greenhouse gas emissions 20% by 2020 for municipal operations. We have made great progress over these past 10 years. We have made great progress over these past 10 years, and now is the time to set bold new goals that will challenge us to do more. Our Office of Sustainability has been working on new goals and meeting with City Council members. We will soon present these new goals to Council for their approval. Our aim is to have bold goals that require a continued spirit of innovation, collaboration, and leadership. These goals will lead to a sustainable future that protects our environment while creating economic opportunity and improving the quality of life for all our citizens, because that's exactly what these prior goals have done as well. Another major Herculean effort over these last 2 years was RECODE. RECODE is a comprehensive update of Knoxville zoning ordinance to incorporate modern planning practices and remove obsolete regulations and contradictions. The goal is to have a clearer and more consistent land use code, easier to use and to administer, that serves as a blueprint for the future. Council will soon vote on RECODE, and I fully support its passage. It is meant to be a living document. Any element that has unintended consequences can be dealt with through the legislative process, as has been done for the last 50 years or so. We cannot let our image of the perfect be the enemy of the practical and the possible. Next, I want to talk about the urban wilderness, and I want to begin by showing this short video. Are we queued up? All right.
What is wilderness? It's a place where we roam, where we set out for grand adventures. Adventures that challenge us, inspire us, make us stronger. The wilderness is where we go to get away. Where we go to explore the beauty of the world and remind ourselves of our place in it. It's a place where we connect to the past and a place we preserve for the future. But just because it's wild, that doesn't mean it's hard to find or inaccessible or far away. It's a lot closer than you think. Knoxville's Urban Wilderness. Choose your own adventure.
It's pretty remarkable, huh? That's what surrounds us right here in South Knoxville. So today we are at the future site of the Gateway Park to Knoxville's urban wilderness. This special place is being designed to unite two worlds, urban and wild, to create a distinctive gateway. The entry curtains that were hanging from the bridge as you entered gives a glimpse into the park features that will be under this bridge. Shaded picnic areas, bouldering, and a rock scramble to hillside slides. Those are things you climb on and have fun. There will be play features for all ages. Enhancements to Baker Creek Preserve, which is behind us here, will create a more open public entrance to the site's famous mountain bike trails with a large slope lawn, gathering space, picnic pavilion, and parking. The greenway will wind through the site and end at the trailhead. The 2-acre Baker Creek Preserve Bike Park will offer something for riders of all abilities and will provide for a progressive user experience. We will be breaking ground very soon on this Gateway Park. And I really want to thank Governor Haslam and TDOT working with us to acquire this property and to move these plans forward. Next time you see Governor Haslam, please thank him for all of us. We are currently in the planning phase with TDOT for the next project related to this, a greenway that will connect South Knoxville and the Urban Wilderness Trail system to downtown across the bridge. One lane will be converted to a greenway and connect into the existing greenways at Morningside and Ned McWhirter Park, so folks on the other side of the river will have an easy way to come over and to be able to enjoy all that this community has right here. And this is not just for the adults. The Appalachian Youth Cycling Team, Knoxville's First, was organized by Doug Sharp 4 years ago and today has a roster of about 75. Look on Facebook for the Appalachian Youth Cycling Team. It's an impressive little group of young people. They are students from the 6th through 12th grades from all Knox County schools. And they have used this urban wilderness trail system to help build their skills. Now, there are two team members here today, Hunter and Hayden Connell. Where are you? I think they were out riding their bikes. They're back there. All right, so they're members of this Appalachian Youth Cycling Team. Wave again so people can see you. Now, I understand Hunter. Who's Hunter? Right there. Hunter joined the team his sophomore year and has received a cycling scholarship to attend Milligan College in Elizabethton this fall. He is a true product of this team and a success story for the trails. So congratulations to both of you. I also want to acknowledge the design team for this project, Port, who has also coordinated, designed, and implemented the graphics for this event today, Sanders Pace Architecture, Equinox Environmental, Vaughn and Melton, and Gresham Smith. Major partners with the city in this and other urban wilderness projects are our Urban Wilderness Alliance partners, which include the Appalachian Mountain Bike Club, and any members of that, please stand. You all are the ones that really started all of this years ago. There they are over there. They always said there was a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, but mostly cases and cases of beer that made that happen. So thank you all. Also, and that's evidence at all of your annual parties, too, by the way. Also, the Aslan Foundation, IAMS Nature Center, Knox County, and Legacy Parks Foundation. Thank you, Carol. Several neighborhoods are also key partners. Old Sevier, South Haven, Lindbergh Forest, South Woodlawn. Stand up if you're from one of those neighborhoods, please. Hundreds and hundreds of people from all over our city have participated in the public events, the public process to make all of this happen. Of course, the urban wilderness initiatives of the city are coordinated by our Parks and Recreation Director, Cheryl Ely, who is also celebrating her birthday today. Where's Cheryl? Back there. And a special shout out to our urban wilderness coordinator, Rebecca Jane Montgomery. Please. Doing a fabulous job. The entire 1,000 acres of urban wilderness is an incredible quality of life amenity for our city, our county, and our region. It is a cultural, historic, environmental, recreational, and health asset. And it is an economic strategy that is already showing very positive returns. This Gateway Park here today is part of a larger four-year master plan for the urban wilderness that we created in 2016. To keep this implementation plan moving forward, I am proposing $1 million for improvements at the Augusta Quarry of Fort Dickerson and $500,000 to IAMS Nature Center for their capital campaign. Now I want to talk about baseball. When the Smokies left for Sevier County in 1999, many of us were very disappointed. My kids and I had spent many memorable nights watching the KJs and then the Smokies at the old Bill Meyer Stadium. How many of you went to Bill Meyer Stadium? Yeah, pretty fabulous. Since then, many of us have held on to the hope that baseball would return to Knoxville. Who? Yeah. As we have discussed publicly, we have been working with the management of the Smokies for months now with the goal of returning the team to Knoxville. The team owner has secured land and invested resources in creating preliminary designs and layouts of a ballpark on the eastern edge of the old city. We have researched successful ballpark models that serve the community year-round and have spurred significant economic investment. A ballpark will be a catalyst for more housing, retail, and mixed-use development in the area. We are working with KCDC, as I mentioned, on a revitalized Austin Homes to ensure that future housing development in that area remains mixed income. And over the past year, we have purposely reserved fund balance and borrowing capacity. I'm going to repeat that. Over the past year, we have purposely preserved fund balance and borrowing capacity to be able to package an agreement. We have talked to Knox County about a potential financial partnership. He's not made any firm commitments yet, but I know they're interested in talking. So this is where we are now. This is a complex transaction, and it is now unlikely that I and my administration that we will have the time to secure the commitments and votes necessary before the end of my term, less than 8 months away. So for the good of the project, I have come to the conclusion that the proper way to proceed is to let the next mayor and council bring the runner home. So the next mayor and council should have ownership of this significant public investment that would be implemented during their terms. And frankly, I don't want to risk the batter striking out due to the political vagaries of a campaign season. We will continue to work with the baseball team to prepare options for the next mayor to consider. Our goal is to get the runner to second or third base scoring position so the next administration will, I hope, safely bring the runner home. That's the end of my baseball analogies. We'll cue it up. I've shared with you an overview of some of our many city services, programs, and investments, and my proposals for the next budget. There are so many more I wish I had time to share, but please check our budget documents online for a more complete picture. It takes a big team of talented and committed people to make all of this happen, almost 1,600 people, and it is an honor for me to work with them. It is important that we provide competitive salaries and benefits to recruit and retain the very best. So this budget includes a 2.5% cost of living raise for all employees, and for the sixth straight year, health insurance premiums for employees will not increase. We are also changing tuition reimbursement to cover more expenses, and thank you to Robbie Corum from our employee group for working with us on that. And we are adding one paid holiday to move closer in line with the county. Finally, to remain competitive in a tight job market, all class comp pay structures will be increased 2.5%, except for the police ranks that will get the 7.7% increase, as I previously mentioned. Now, I want to recognize our city employees who are here with us today, starting with my executive assistant, Terry Alexander. Please hold your applause till I get all these folks in. Terry, stand. Members of my cabinet, my two deputies, Bill Lyons and David Brace, Law Director Charles Swanson, Fire Chief Stan Sharp, Police Chief Eve Thomas, Community Relations Director Eric Avis-Reed, Communications Director Eric Vreeland, and Finance Director Jim York. Thank you. And would all my department heads, if you're a department head, please stand up. Department heads, please stand. And now all city employees, if you're a city employee, please stand and be recognized. My biggest words of advice to the next mayor: have your right team in place, because that's how it gets done. I also want to do a special thanks to our former mayors, Brown and Tyree, who are here with us, and Governor Haslam, who couldn't make it. I have to say that they have been tremendous advisors and supporters of mine, and I appreciate so much the way they have worked with us and been that positive reinforcement to everything we've done over these past 7.5 years. So please thank them for me. The proposed net budget is $336.2 million, which is a decrease of 10.8%, mainly due to a drop in capital spending after some large projects were budgeted last year, like the public safety building. The general fund, which is the main operating fund, is up 1.72% due to higher salaries, benefits, and operating expenses. There is no property tax increase, and the rate remains at $2.4638 per $100 of assessed value. You can clap at that. And remember, when adjusted for inflation and countywide reappraisals, the adopted tax rate is actually lower than it was 10 years ago. So, when I leave office in 8 months, we will be leaving this city in excellent financial health. The next mayor will inherit a vibrant, growing, economically healthy city. With the support of our employee groups and city council, we took steps in my first year in office to reform our pension system so that it was sustainable. We reduced the city's financial exposure while maintaining security for our employees. We have invested in our employees while using technology and innovation to deliver services in a more cost-efficient and reliable way. We have made major investments in our infrastructure and improved our asset management. After 7 years of significant capital investment that has leveraged significantly more in private investment, this budget projects a healthy fund balance of $71 million at the end of the fiscal year 2019-20. We have the ability to support substantial borrowing for strategic capital investments that pay off in positive returns, and we continue to hold the highest credit rating in the history of our city. And I want to thank our Finance Director, Jim York, Deputy Director, Boyce Evans, and the entire finance team. Where are they? You all stand up, please, our finance team, for their excellent stewardship of our finances. So I'm about to conclude here. A great city is more than a financially healthy city. It is a city that also makes informed and tough decisions that set the stage for future actions. We have been bold in creating a blueprint for modern and smart land use. We have been advocates for engaging residents in meaningful public process. We have worked hand in hand with our business community. We've nurtured public-private partnerships to drive investments in people and places that create opportunities and a higher quality of life. We are a city that invests in its residents, particularly those who are most vulnerable, to create opportunities for them to survive, thrive, and to give back. We have found strength in our diversity, and we have opened our arms and hearts as a welcoming community. For many years, our city struggled to find our own identity and that silver bullet that would be the economic boost that put us on the map. You may remember, project after project was proposed, but none really caught our imaginations. None really moved us. But what seems evident to me is that we have had that silver bullet all along. That silver bullet is our historical buildings, our walkable downtown, our interesting and unique neighborhoods, our land and river and wilderness, our music and culture, the diversity of our people, our volunteerism and big hearts, and our spirit. Authentic Knoxville. We are learning to honor it, preserve it, and share it. That is our silver bullet. Thank you for the honor you have given me, and be assured that I will be working hard for you until the next mayor takes my office. Thank you all for coming today. Safe travels on your way home or to work.